Welcome to Critical Ditto, the Pokemon role-playing podcast made by us and run by you?
Wait, what?
Wait a second.
Oh, gosh.
It's run by them.
You're running the show today. You're in charge today. Good luck.
Twitch plays Critical Ditto.
Here's the control stick. I would say I'm running the game, but I'm not. You are. So I'm just Stuart. I don't even know what I do today. I'm just a guy who's here. Ali, how do you feel about this?
I feel pretty happy, actually. I feel like we've taken the reins for, what, nearly 90 episodes now? And it's about time that we let the listeners tell us what to do. And they've told me to play Kenny Mullet, which is a twist. I didn't think they'd do that. They've given me some Pokemon.
If anything, it's good affirmation, Ali. They're happy with your work.
You know what? Yeah, it's good. I hope that David and Tom are playing their characters. But something tells me
awkward.
That David might, Tom won't. Potentially Tom might be playing Barnaby Timms.
Yeah, stop so making I, me rewrite in my head, Ali.
Yeah, I knew it. I called it. Right, I've got a Decidueye called Bowtie, a Gyarados called Moustache, a Salazzle called Hoops, a Honchkrow called Fedora, a Spiritomb called Swirly, a Galvantula called Fleek, and I've traded a Kamoho for a Drapion called Gary.
So, oh God, I forgot about all the trading.
Team,
oh, this is going to hurt the brain. Okay.
A Drapion called Gary. And that's me. And we've just been sent a text by one of our listeners. It's for David. David, do you want to just read out the message that they told us
Absolutely.
To do?
Absolutely. I got a text. Islanders, you've been asked to play... Right, okay. So I'm David, and I'm playing the role of Barnaby Timms this episode.
Yay!
Which is a joy. But luckily, Barnaby Timms, master of disguise, master of outfits. So Barnaby Timms will be wearing a really convincing Theo outfit for this episode. That is me playing Theo, or am I playing Barnaby Timms in a really nice suit? Who's to say? On Theo's team... There's not much conscious at this moment in time. There is a Medicham and there is a Slowpoke. And in the discard pile...
That is it.
Yeah, that's it. And on the
We will trade.
We are
Dave,
trading.
We'll talk.
We'll have a chat. And on the discard pile, we've got Kabuto. We have got Leavanny. We have got Barbarical. Finally reunited with me after falling through a roof. And we've got a Jason the Combi and no longer a Zygarde, which I'm not mad about or angry about at all. I seem to be getting a... Oh, yeah, no, I've got a call here from the representative of the new runners of the podcast, of our shareholders. Tom, do you want to take this?
I would. I don't think this is the best. They've told me to jump to the left and then step to the right, put my hands on my hips and bend my knees in time. Okay. It's just the pelvic thrust, apparently, but it'll drive me insane. I think these people think we're on the Rocky Horror Show. Which I don't hate.
Bring your knees in. Wait.
Wait. What?
Did they tell you to bring your knees in time? Is that what? Okay. I just want to.
They wanted to bring my knees in time. Put my elbow in space. And that's what I've done. So I'm currently swimming along the universe and how that all works. And in the universe, I see a collection of constellations, and one of them looks like Brandy. Brandy doesn't have any Pokemon left either, but she's got a Lopunny called Wimpy, and that's it. Oh, no, and she also has a Kamoho named King Thrush. The others are now irrelevant. It's the end game. That's it. We're never going to happen. We've also got a lot of texts here from the listeners saying, we want more Adri. Where is Adri? What happened to Adri? So I'll pose that over to you, Stu. What happened to Adri?
I would tell you, but I've actually just been informed that I've been fired by the board.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
Finally.
Who's taking it? Adri. Adri is the new CEO.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Welcome, everybody. Adri Famansk.
What happened last time, Andrew?
Finally, I've slept my way to the middle.
Previously on Digital Quito. No, wait. Hang on, no, wait, let me do it again.
Brandy and Kenny, emotions high after the self-sacrifice of General Phillips and the encounter with the Zapdos, confront each other. Brandy sees Kenny's dangerous powers unleashed, yet maintains she trusts him, whilst Kenny admonishes Brandy for constantly putting herself in danger. The two reconcile before they and their remaining compatriots honour the late general. Meanwhile, Theo and Tyler team up to defeat Frey's poker-powered lieutenants Cornelius and Elaine through a combination of Theo's battling skills and Tyler's knowledge of technology. Tyler, true to their word, give Theo the final key to the Sephiroth tree and release all Extreme Ball-captured Pokémon. On one hand, this also releases all the poker powers from their ex-extreme balls, yet on the other, Tyler was mercilessly killed by a vengeful Scyther, the first Pokemon ever caught in an extreme ball by Tyler many months ago. Finally, mysterious pods containing fearsome Ultra Beasts grew out of the roots of the Sephiroth tree, one last defense mechanism. The group swooped in on the back of Moustache and collected Theo, yet would have been attacked by the Ultra Beasts if it were not for the bravery of the Special Defenders, led by Hannah. They attacked the Ultra Beasts, carving a path for Kenny, Brandy, and Theo to slot their keys into the gates and finally enter the ruins surrounding the Sephiroth tree.
Hannah hurls her flame lance, Bash diving to the ground with seconds to spare. The lance connects with the Buzzwole, who had been winding up a vicious mega punch aimed directly at where Bash's head had been not seconds before.
Swole!
Swole! Sorry, I thought that was Barnaby Timms. Sorry, my bad, everyone.
Dumb joke!
One more arc to go of this bullshit.
Swole!
The Buzzwole reels back, clutching at the lance now embedded in its ample pectorals. Bash, face to the floor, cheek muddied with earth and tree root sap, keeps one eye open. She sees Hannah leap off, swinging from Chandelure's wispy tendrils as she retrieves her lance and twirls it ready for her next volley. Hannah's face is streaked with blood, her hair plastered against her face. Bash sees her brother swoop into view. His seeking mask is torn, revealing half of his face, angular glasses askew beneath the latex, blue hair protruding behind the ears. He offers her a hand and pulls her from the floor. "We have to keep moving, Bash!" An explosion knocks them both off their feet, as a Blacephalon detonates nearby. Bash can hear nothing but ringing. She pulls herself to her hands and knees and coughs. Her chest hurts.
Performia!
Barnaby Timms' battle cry is shrill but penetrating as he rides his Swanna into battle, a vast combat cape cascading waves of blue and white drawing out behind him. Sir Cuthbert Smythe's water pulse extinguishes the flaming Blacephalon before it can do any more damage. The Swanna's charge is halted, however, as a jolt from a circuitry clips its wings, sending both Sir Cuthbert and Barnaby sprawling.
Circuitry?
Hedrold and his ninjask hang from either side of the circuitry, both gripping hard to a reel of undeveloped film that is now wrapped around the neck of the Ultra Beast.
Time for a hit piece! Now, ninjask!
The pair pull the circuitry to the ground hard, forcing it to crash awkwardly into a Pokemon League vending kiosk. Sparks fly, as yet another pod opens near Hedrold, the acidic roar of a Naganadel preempting the appearance of yet another terrifying monster. A Celesteela launches itself into the sky, carrying a hapless Gary Smoke who has lost his shirt and is attempting to flex his way out of her steel grip. Heron's Porygon Zed fires desperate tri-attack after tri-attack in a vain attempt to retaliate. Bash crawls behind the nearest tree root, hoping to seek some shelter. Her Patreon whimpers next to her.
No end to them.
Bash pants.
Patreon. Of course we keep going. What else can we do?
A blade slices through the tree root Bash is hiding behind, inches from her face. The paper-thin visage of a Kartana passes through the incision. With a wet peel, its alien vitriol palpable even in its featureless face.
Bash!
Hannah's cry from across the battlefield is drowned by a Guzzlord's primal roar. Bash stares up at her assailant, too bruised to get to her feet. Patreon growls, shooting a hopeful look at Bash.
Help us?
Bash gasps with resignation. The Kartana raises its blade.
Who informed you could help us now?
There is a crackle in the air, the snapping of particles dividing at a molecular level. A portal appears within the Kartana, bisecting it instantly. The two halves of the creature peel away harmlessly from the portal as the Pokemon drifts to the ground like tissue paper. A voice echoes from the other side of the portal. Perhaps we can offer some assistance. A hooded figure steps through the portal, clutching a tome. No, not a tome. A hardback copy of Mr. N's dissertation, Ritual Circles and Their Practical Application. Yes. Large, round spectacles catch the light beneath the hood. After all, I believe the Special Defenders originally included a certain Vespa. Adri Famonsk removes their hood, allowing their braided hair to fall from within their robes. Ellie the Manectric lets out a guttural growl and paws the ground beside them, building up static charge. More portals start appearing across the battlefield. Aid Asta steps through one, commanding her Brakeson to instantly incinerate a Feromosa as it looks to launch a high jump kick. More church members pour through the reality-bending openings.
both those who have chosen to restore part of their poker powers with Juliet's device, and those who have chosen not to, wielding a selection from Juliet's arsenal of poker-powered inspired weapons. Paladins and acolytes alike charge into battle, unfamiliar with combat of this scale, but united under the banner of their new common leader, and committed to exacting the kind of world the Church of Slarslow now seeks to build. "Where is Theo?" Adri asks Bash as they offer their shoulder in support.
"Ready inside. Kenny, Brandy and Theo. They've gone off to pray."
Adri cannot hide the look of grave concern. They swallow it. "Then we need to make sure they can focus entirely on that." "Right!" Hannah approaches the pair. Asta is not far behind. "Hannah, stay still. Let Bregson dress your wound."
"Bregson!"
"Sloking," Adri mutters. "This is it, isn't it?" Asta finishes cutting a bandage. "What we do here, what they do in there." Bash surveys the battlefield before them and allows her eyes to fix on the blast doors beyond it.
"Could decide everything."
"Well," Hannah grunts as she rises, head bandaged but blood still seeping through. "Let's not let them down." With a shared look, the special defenders and the new Church of Slarslow leap back into the heart of a battle for the fate of Formia.
Oh, excellent stuff.
Well,
we could tell that Adri took control
of
the
end. So good.
I love that we...
Yep.
Adri made a triumphant return.
Also love how all of the responses to the War Stories episode was, "Well, Adri's out of harm's way." And Stu went, "Nope."
Adri's getting in a portal.
So that's what's going on with the special defenders outside the blast doors. But our POV turns inside, where once those vast metal doors have sealed, it's like the sound of battle suddenly disappears. And suddenly, for the Sifloatzels, there is quiet. And you are in this other space, the Pokemon League ruins, a space that I can't imagine many people have ever seen. I don't know how familiar any of you are with what's in this space, but this is what you see in front of you. This ruined village, built mainly from stone, built with the hands and the powers of the Pokepowers who live there, utilizing whatever powers and abilities they had. So whether that was a ground-type Pokepower mixing with a water-type Pokepower to create some kind of cement, fighting-type Pokepower, carving, chiseling away at the structures, it's an interesting mix of styles, techniques, and buildings as all these people had come together with a shared goal of creating a utopia and fashioned it in their own image, an image that celebrates and represents them. Brandy, what specific part of these ruins reminds you of your home, of Surfloat Town?
Well, Surfloat Town is quite a small town, even though I realise everyone in the podcast comes from Surfloat Town. But it is, you know, canonically quite a small place. But I think there is a small, what was obviously a shop, a sort of place where you could buy sort of stuff. So you can see like remnants of a sign, and it looks a bit like the exact sign of Whiskey's Delio's. It's in that exact same sort of style, that sort of individualist style. It's like if you were to never, like Whiskey's Delio's felt like a complete one-off because there are no independent shops in Formia. It's just the Pokemon. No. So it reminds her of Surfloat because it's like, this is obviously a shop, but it's not a Pokemon. And that's really weird to see as something like that. So I think it's sort of, you can sort of see maybe a fermented hyper potion. That's right. Season one.
Super
season
fermented
one,
at this
season
point.
Season one, episode one, Stan.
Just hundreds of years old. Okay. Oh, well, revive your team,
please.
I guess.
There you go.
And there we go. You're welcome, everyone. You are welcome.
Well, I'll take back that Kamoa then, shall I, Tom?
No, please, no.
Kenny, what can you intuit from this place that tells you that this is a place where people with poker powers once lived?
I think there is a training area.
Uh-huh.
There's a sort of a football field sized area with sort of like some dummies, some crash mats, that sort of thing. It almost looks like it could be kind of like a gymnasium in our world, but there are sort of poker powered things around the side for like kids who are learning to control their poker powers. It's for that really. So everything is geared towards like a younger demographic. Like there are the training dummies. There's like a polywag that's really like cute and fuzzy and stuff. If ever you're worried like the things are going to go out of control, you can kind of go there and speak to people that would help you kind of control your poker powers.
But it's like there's a space where if you've got powers, come and use them, try them out.
It almost like when we sort of went to Come Over Town, we said that there was like, I mean, I somehow came up with Quarry. There was a place that Kenny would go to where his powers were out of control.
Forgot about the quarry.
The quarry.
Oh my gosh.
Remember the quarry guys? Times.
Wasn't that where the guy made his fortune? The Baron. Wasn't that where he made his fortune?
The Baron made his fortune at the quarry. Yes. And to remind David, in Come Over Town, the quarry was where Kenny would go whenever his powers were too much control. Because it was big, it was empty. Kenny could like explode rocks and stuff with like so that he wouldn't cause any damage. And Kenny just sort of thinks, he sees this training area and is like, wow, well, I would love to have had that when I was a kid.
Come Over Town, the tiny farming village, which is also an industrial quarry next door. Mm. God.
Well, Surfloat Town is a tiny village with a billion people in it.
The Baron has a tiny farming village with a quarry in it. Wasn't he mining cormorants, or have I made that
Yeah,
up?
He was farming cormorants.
Yeah, that's it. There we go. Yeah. Now it makes sense. Yeah.
Our podcast is so rich and detailed.
It really is. Okay, so the three of you, you're on your own in this ruins. You're intuiting what you can intuit. I sort of see the three of you walking through past the buildings. But this is the first time you three have been alone since you've left for this mission. What are you doing?
Can we just say that we've caught each other up on what's happened in pod, essentially?
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
I am happy to trade one of my Pokemon with one of Theo's. Can we just pick us up?
Do you want to get that
towards
that
the
done.
End of that process?
Yeah. Sure. Well, yeah, maybe
we cut in to that process.
Well, Theo, I haven't asked you a question. So after the trade occurs, Theo, what lingering question are you going to ask Kenny?
I think that Theo's main question is, obviously Theo has not really had the resolution that Kenny and Brandy had after Zapdos Gate, where they had that moment to talk about what they saw.
Oh yeah. Obviously
Theo didn't see it, but I think Theo can still probably get the sense that this is something quite sizable.
Well, you saw the Zapdos. Yeah. You saw the mad Zapdos, and then someone's just said, and then it was gone. Like, so you could probably be like, okay, well, there's a step missing there. Like...
So I think Theo and Brandy have both been on their separate journeys of like how small C conservative to be about Kenny and his developing powers. And Theo has the Mind Palace bow tie kind of as a result of that sort of like general trepidation on everyone's part. So I think Theo is sort of like fondling that in their pocket. And it's like, and at this point, we've done the trade. I've probably traded Honchkrow for, let's be honest, probably Barbaracle. I feel like I've given you Barbaracle because you did such a good work carrying him all the way here.
We bonded.
In Kenny's head, they bonded even though Barbaracle was unconscious.
That's the power of his optimism. I was high-fiving him the whole way here with the back of my neck.
Oh, Honchkrow. I'll miss you, Honchkrow. They're a good Pokemon, David.
I saw them one-shot an entire enemy. I can't wait to do this.
Yeah.
I think Theo's question is trying to be delicate, and it's like, Kenny, the nearer we get to Frey, how in control are you feeling about this whole thing?
That's a really good question, Theo.
I know it is. I'm very talented and clever.
Yeah, you ask some really good questions, you know.
Nobody ever says that, thank you.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I feel like being here is... I don't want to say triggering because I don't feel like I'm triggered right here, but this is a place, so this is a poker-powered village, and my relationship with my poker-powers right now, I don't know how I feel about them. I feel like they are a part of me and I don't want to lose them ever, but they do scare me. And I really, really feel like I'm going to need the two of you more so than ever going into that tree. We have come across situations where there has been no options but to get rid of what's hurting people. We did that with Togekiss. We did that with the Golduck. Please remember that this is what we do, even if you don't want to, and even if it comes to me. Don't lose your morals just because it's me. I am not worth it above the safety of Formia.
Theo, what's something that you know about the Pokepower Village that you've researched in your time? I don't know if you did a full dissertation or anything on it, but is there something that you've read or something that, like, you know, you've come across in your time as an academic that has told you something.
Yeah, I don't think that Theo has done any real research into poker powers, because if they had, this podcast would have gone very differently. Very differently indeed.
That's fair.
I think that Theo probably did a little bit of speed reading in between making Adri the de facto leader of the church in their absence and end of the last arc. And so I think that Theo has got like a little bit of the history of this place now.
That also begs the question, who did Adri leave in charge?
I think it's Ainsley and Ablethorpe.
Has to be.
Only people up for the job.
Or LeBon. LeBon the janitor is like, well, okay.
I was going to say, David, would it be interesting if perhaps Theo didn't really know about this village at all? And maybe, because I was thinking, Theo grew up in the church, which is all based on, you know, knowledge and finding out things, whatever, and hoarding knowledge. I was just going to say that I think Brandy's heard about this village because it's a fairy tale. Because it's a, well, something that people knew.
It's just like a legend, so a myth, not truth.
It's not really truth. It's more that like her mum read it to her as a child sort of thing. And, you know, obviously Theo didn't have that same parental kind of relationship.
All right, here's an idea then. I love that, Tom. If you're okay with that, so Theo, so you're walking through this space, and you're unnerved. You're having this conversation with Kenny, but there's something about this space that unnerves you. And I think a big part of that is to do with the fact that you have no real understanding of this place is, or why it exists here, or anything. And that no part of your reading has really referenced this place. And there's something odd as well about a spiritual feeling that you get about this space that defies logic, and it defies, you know, what you would come to define the world by. It's literally just an emotion and something guttural within you that gives you this feeling of spiritual calling for the village that I would imagine would unnerve Theo because they can't really process it or understand it. Brandy, what do you pick up on Theo that sort of tells you there's a discomfort there?
I think Theo's rolling on the floor with their hands to their face screaming, and I'm like, oh, that looks
picking up on something.
So Theo's having a little chat with Kenny, and suddenly descends just to the floor.
I don't know what this place is. No, I think what unnerves Brandy is that normally when we get to a new place, Theo loves to introduce the place with a fact or a knowledge.
Sure.
And there is there seems to be no. So Brandy's sort of waiting.
Not forthcoming.
I think Brandy and Kenny are waiting for Theo to explain where this place is. And there's just this sort of awkward silence as Theo's looking. I think Theo looks right, looks left, then looks right again. And we just see them trapped in a spiral of trying to search for things. And Kenny and Brandy look at each other.
Medicham's doing a warm-up act just to keep the crowd going.
Yeah, type five.
Just doing some
a literal type five.
So anyway,
five,
yeah,
type five.
Theo will be right with us. Theo will be right with us. Hope you're having a great day. How's everyone doing? Look at you. Ah, look. Oh, Brandy, like we've done your hair. That's looking good.
Theo.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know you're probably about to introduce this place.
Of course,
but you don't think this could be the oasis, do you?
Of course I do. But just in case people aren't sure what the oasis is, why don't you give us a little overview?
Okay, well, I will. This is a bit weird, but my mum used to read it to me as a story. It was an old, I don't know how old it is, but it's just a...
Brandy, this better not get in the way of Theo's fact about this place.
No,
I don't think it will, Kenny. I think it's really going to...
This contradicts anything Theo later says. We're going to be so mad.
I just wonder... My mum used to tell me this story about a place called the Oasis. And it was a place where any dream was possible, anything could happen, Pokemon people, and everyone under the sun would live kind of in harmony. And it's freaking me out because it kind of looks like this place, like some of the little sketch drawings were in the book. There were, you know, some of, I don't know, I'm trying to remember if Kenny's sketchbook.
Wait, is that what Whiskey based her shop design
I wonder
on,
if she, yeah, I wondered, because there's a shop. There was a shop in the Oasis book that my mum always said, oh, I'd love to own my own shop like that. Sorry, it's kind of weird seeing something that looks like it was just meant to be a story in real life. Is that, Theo, tell me that's wrong. Tell me this isn't the Oasis.
I mean, Brandy, I don't think we thought that there was a tree that held the King's Rock under it, and I don't think we thought that the King's Rock was necessarily real, but those seem to be facts now, so... maybe the Oasis is also a fact, which of course I know, because I know all about it, the Oasis.
Theo, Brandy, where is everyone? What happened to all the people? Why? This place looks like it was just deserted. There's a plate of rotten food on the side over there, and there's a bum imprint on the chair over there that's just not been smoothed over. This looks like it was abandoned in a
Kenny,
in a second.
You're very good at finding bum imprints. It's one of the striking
things. I've made two or three
you.
Already, actually.
That's why you've been sitting down on those various cushions.
General Phillips is not even cold. Yeah. Not even cold, guys.
Yeah, we vowed not to sit down, Kenny, and here you are making bum grooves.
Oh, I'm not sitting down.
Wait, what? Wait.
I'm bringing the cushions up.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah, and then putting them back again.
That's very respectful. Yeah.
I have a very bony bottom. I think that is established, actually. I think that is canon.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much for me to groove. There we go. There's the General
Phillips. As it feels like perhaps I might be the expert.
Oh, let's not use those words. That's Stogley.
Like
sorry. I know we're in the middle of a war, but that's the most unsettling thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I just, all I'm saying is I've read a book that Theo hasn't, which is amazing. It's a weird feeling. But at the end of the book, it doesn't really say what happened to the village. It's more just like this magical place where people and Pokemon live in peace and harmony, and that it's sort of it just vanishes, and then but it will be found again is sort of the vibe of it. I think it's more a tale of, you know, be nice to people sort of thing, because I was, full disclosure, I had a bit of an anger issue at school.
Really?
Might have been. I know, shocking. Really shocking.
Gasp.
And I needed help apparently to channel and help with those emotions and whatnot. So
you needed a quarry.
Exactly. The Oasis was my quarry in fiction, in my mind. It didn't work. I got expelled from that school. But
wrote a lot of Oasis fan fiction.
I did. Did a lot of drawings. But yeah, I don't really know. It feels creepy here. I'm not going
to... Well, I guess an important question for us to ask before we think too much about this creepy book that you read is, why would the Pokemon League build itself around this place?
Yeah, that's what's freaking me out.
You know what they say? The best way to forget something is to commemorate it. So maybe whatever destroyed this town is also what's around it.
Yeah, I was thinking same thing.
Theo, as you speak of commemoration, this spirituality feeling that you've been starting to feel here begins to feel a little more focused and centered on a point. And as the words commemoration come out of your mouth, your eyes are drawn to this statue that sort of looms large over the center of the village ruins. This statue depicting a man, rugged features and flowing hair, a sarong wrapped around his otherwise exposed torso, two spoons grasped in his stony fists. He's posed not for action, but in a quiet contemplative pose, which looks approachable and yet guarded. And at the base of the statue is a single genuine metallic spoon that looks to have been dug into the dirt, handle first, like some kind of commemorative memorial or marker. Yes, Theo, you seem to sense a lot of spiritual energy kind of calling you towards this. But Kenny, you also sense a lot of energy. Like you feel there's like a tugging at your poker belt, Kenny.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. If I were to release the pokeball, it would be, I assume it would be Spiritomb, right?
Spiritomb or Spirit Spoon?
Spirit Spoon. I think Spirit Spoon just pops out then in that case. I think before okay. Kenny can control it.
What? And so are you approaching the statue?
Maybe Spiritomb jumps out and Kenny Swirly, come back! And like runs to them as they run towards the statue.
Should we check a place out with this? Should we? Is that how?
Nah, just go head first in, baby.
Fine, go in.
Let's just run in.
Go in.
Yeah, let's not ask any questions. If we get attacked, we get attacked.
There was something in the book about an evil spoon. Oh, well, he's gone.
You know, this book sounds great, Brandy. Can you get me a copy?
The poison cereal chapter.
Serial killer.
Serial killer.
There we go.
Salad fingers. Salad fingers pops in and goes, "What's this spoon?" God, no.
Theo, what are you doing? Obviously, you see Kenny and Swirly, the spirit team, start dashing towards this statue. What do you do?
Maybe Theo's going to check a place out. Like, I feel like Theo is not going to rush headlong in because my Pokemon is not heading towards a cursed spoon. But I think that Theo sees this.
Honchko loves spoons, mate. Have you not? Have I not established that?
I think that Theo is just. I think Theo can get a glimpse of the statue, and there are some obvious signs to Theo of like who this person might be connected to, based off outfit, based off vibe. I think there's some clues.
After the vibe check.
I'd like to roll vibe check. I think Theo's going to check a place out. I think Brandy's probably a little bit like, oh, I'm going to run after Kenny after what we've seen previously. Theo is like, no, let's just take a moment.
So Brandy, are you running after Kenny?
No, I'm going to wait with Theo. But also quite awkward, as Kenny said, I'll need you by my side for this. Just not 2 seconds ago. So yeah. Brandy's a bit like...
That's okay.
It's figurative, Brandy. It's okay. Figurative.
I got it. Okay. We are by his side, just from a distance. Yeah.
Theo, roll plus... What is it? Sharp. Yep. I'm guessing.
Finally, a roll I can win, he says.
Double ones.
Almost certainly. It's a 6 out of 3 plus a 3 for a 12.
Huge.
Lovely.
Oh, that's my last success of the arc.
What happened here recently? What is about to happen? What Pokemon is nearby? What should I be on the lookout for? What here is useful or valuable to me? Who, what is really in control here? And what here is not what it appears to be?
So the questions I think we're going with are, what is not as it appears to be? And if we could extend from recently, what happened here? So, like, not necessarily recently, but what happened here?
Okay, interesting. Let's start with what happened here, because I assume you're looking for context on the village at large. Well, we know what happened.
We know, yeah. Obviously, we just need a way to trigger it.
Yeah.
In the rest of
how could
I mean, because when Frey showed people, didn't she? She showed people on the ship.
Yeah.
What happened in the village?
Yeah.
And
this
spoon is directly connected to what happened. So perhaps there's like Kenny touches the spoon and there's like a memory
flashes. And we know Frey has had possession of this spoon at one point.
Yeah. Maybe we see a similar sort of black portal open that shows us.
Okay. So whatever energy is emanating off this spoon starts to widen and form this kind of dark cloud over the village, and you begin to see visions as Kenny is running. Suddenly, Kenny, you're running towards the spoon, and it suddenly looks as if a flamethrower is about to hit, like directly above your head. You duck, only to realize that the flamethrower is a vision from the past.
Oh, that's
and
okay.
You see A-Bomb's Charizard swoop over your head and fire
dragon.
A blast towards a building. Brandy, what form of destruction do you witness in vision form? What happens to the shop?
I think tragically we see Nero of the first three on their Grimmsnarl just tear the entire frontage of the roof of the shop. It's in its Gigantamax form as well, and it's just like it just kicks the shop into oblivion. And Brandy sees a sort of for continuity, and I don't want to mess up anything, but there's a family, let's say, who have escaped the shop and see it get just...
Mate, does Alana Flash secretly get that family out?
Yes. Yes. Brandy's grandma. We can accept that anyone related to the main people are good. And secretly...
better than the others.
Secretly, she was a good person and not a terrible, terrible human. And she secretly got them out. She secretly got them out.
A-Bomb is like... I'm bad enough for both of us.
So Alana Flash secretly...
I'll burn double the houses.
Alana Flash secretly gets them out just before the shop burns, and then she shoots them all in the head individually.
Oh, no! No!
Maybe she's wiping memories of this place ever existing from people. Because she was like psychic-y stuff, wasn't she?
So she's getting people out and wiping them.
Yeah, she's got like a Adele Fox and is just like wiping their memories clear.
Nice. Amnesia, just group amnesia. Amnesia-ing people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Theo, what do you recognise that puts beyond all doubt what happened here?
I think that, so maybe there is some degree to which Theo can still see the process of Gordo still sort of being like... contained within the rock. Like, there's so much rock that had to be combined by those powers that it's still kind of like in the distance there's almost like a rock sun hanging in the air, which is cool. Like there's still chunks of rock hitting it and hitting it and hitting it.
And maybe you see a young Frey who's returned to the village as well, having witnessed the sun being
and
warm,
I
whatever, like,
and I think that although obviously Theo cannot tell that Gordo's in the middle, like Theo has no knowledge of that, I think Theo sees young Frey looking in horror at this rock comet about to hit Formia and sees
because you never saw the Frey story
and I think Theo sees in this girl that he quickly recognizes to be a young Frey's expression the same thing that Theo felt when they saw the tower being destroyed in Surfloat and knows exactly what that look means.
That kind of inciting
parallels.
Yeah.
And Theo, as you're the last one to sort of witness these visions that they're all ongoing around, there is a focusing of the visions and you see this young Frey who was holding one of her father's spoons as she witnessed him being trapped in the meteoric rock. That vision of the spoon sort of bleeds into the reality of the spoon that now lies at the base of the statue that you see Kenny running towards as all the visions kind of coalesce.
I think we see old signs up put there by the Pokemon League of town destroyed by meteor. Oh, more meteor damage sort of stuff.
Yeah, like
it's like, you know,
Pokemon League saves ancient town.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You know,
take these refugees and be like, yeah, we saved you. Yeah. We saved you guys.
Promises to restore glory to heritage site, that sort of thing.
Nice.
What was the other question that you...
What here is not what it appears.
I guess the statue.
It's actually Gordo the whole time. No, he comes to life.
No, yeah, the statue is not what it appears to be, and you'll find out
after these messages.
Theo, you hear a voice. You hear a voice as the visions come to an end, just going,
Frey.
And you could swear it's a voice that you barely recognise, almost like one that you might have heard on the wind once before.
Are you ready?
I don't know if I am.
Well, you better be.
Why?
But David's going to tell you.
Well, yeah, because if you're not ready, then you're just going to be doing it not ready. So why not just be ready, you know?
It's really tough because I really want to be ready, but sometimes I feel like an Eddie. Am I an Eddie rather than a Reddy?
Never be an Eddie.
No, goodness no. An Edward, fine.
Yeah, I prefer you to be steady than an Eddie.
I don't want to be a steady or an Eddie. I want to be ready, but Freddie, what do you think?
Oh, read the midsection, guys.
Okay, Freddie. Well, hopefully we'll be ready afterwards. Hey, welcome to the midsection. Today's midsection comes from Jackson. Thank you so much, Jackson.
Pollock.
Yes.
Big fan.
Yeah, huge fans. Huge fans. It's not so much of his midsection that I'm looking at, more of just like
just an art piece.
Sort of,
you're just interpreting a series of splats.
Sort of, it's just blobs going, you know, oh, let me try and interpret it. Jackson paints place. The shrinking trial. The shrinking trial is a maze, but when you enter the maze, you start shrinking very slowly until you disappear. There are non-lethal traps designed to slow you down, so you have less of a chance to reach the center. Jackson also gives us an item. Jackson writes, item, the mind-reading band. At the center of the shrinking trial is the teleporter that teleports you wherever you want to go, literally anywhere, like into a super secret base, maybe. Also in the center is the mind-reading band. The magic bracelet lets you read somebody's mind, but has a 3-day cooldown. It looks like a friendship bracelet, but if the strings were super thin and different shades of pink, if it's easier, you can just use the bracelet.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, Jackson, okay? Then Jackson writes, you guys are great. Keep up the good work. Well, Jackson, we hope we have done that.
What a midsection. I really wish we'd read this midsection before we'd started like looking for the tree and stuff, because how much fun would it have been to have gone through a maze where we're steadily shrinking to get a mind-reading teleporting bracelet thing.
It's a really cool idea.
It's like all of a sudden you just start walking through like treacle for like an entire corner and you're like, this is gonna slow me down.
You know, there's a kindly old woman asking for directions and then just you feel too guilty to just breeze past them and just like, oh no, I know this is a trap, but I can't look at her face, she's desperate.
There's one entire like hallway in the maze which is just cats stuck up trees, just loads of different cats stuck up trees, and you're like, oh. Do I live with the guilt?
Stu would be dead. Stu would help every single cat there.
A different cat Pokemon in each tree.
So the shrinking trial. The thing that jumps out to me about the shrinking trial is we already have a character who can shrink their body. Theo, the O, whose special move, one might argue, is to be able to shrink down to, you know, 1/16th normal size.
Yes.
So there's obviously, I feel like there's a connection here. How does Theo shrink? What's the, it's minimized powder.
Perhaps you need to use like some of the leaves from this maze. That's maybe this where it comes from. You got to like stew something, some sort of ooze with leaves from this maze. I don't know.
So I think like a church member, a previous church member, perhaps one of the noted rebels from the you know, misty terrain that Theo sometimes encountered.
Oh yeah.
Was actually the sort of person the only person to escape the maze ever.
Ever.
I think they were the only person ever.
Oh my god. Why would anyone go into this deadly maze that's not deadly but also no one gets out of?
If it is just an inconvenient maze, then nobody dies. Everyone just ends up in a slightly worse version of the life they had before.
Well, they're all a good foot or two shorter as well, so everything's going to be harder to reach.
They do go back, but not quite as tall as they were normally if they complete the maze. None of your clothes fit just right anymore. Like, it's all just...
God, that'd be so annoying.
What we're forgetting as well is that because this is a non-deadly maze, but sometimes people don't get out of it, there are just various different people in the quantum realm... that are just steadily getting smaller and smaller and smaller forever and ever and ever.
Oh, goodness.
No. If we're gonna embrace the Ant-Man-ness of Theo shrinking and getting big again, we might as well go Ant-Man.
So what we're thinking is that there's a whole shrunken community actually in this maze. That there's a quantum state.
I think there is. And whenever there's a new person coming in, they all freak out because they could be stepped on at any minute. So they've all, you know.
I wonder if this is actually the last resistance to Frey. Like, this is the last bastion of, like, some people have gone here as, like, this is the final hiding place. And there's, like, you can shrink down to a quantum level and we'll all, like, you know, create a community here in the shrinking maze. And that'll be where we live our lives. Tiny buildings, tiny quantum realm.
I'm sure there are some people for whom that was their last line of defense, but I think it's a terrible last line of defense.
It's smaller.
I'm just going to go into this maze, this impossible and impregnable maze.
That makes everyone's life worse, because that's better than being with Frey.
I just love how this enhances the lore of the podcast, you know, that is, you know, we now know where Theo's shrinking move comes from, and it's from this shrinking maze. Where do we think the shrinking maze is?
Well, do you know what I find interesting as well? There's Baleton,
of course, the
maze where Pokemon's... you know, you swap types. Are there any regular mazes in Formia, or do they all have some sort of very disruptive quirk?
Maybe.
Is there a maze where just everyone just immediately sets on fire? The whole, like they just
it's
start
called,
burning
it's called making a podcast.
Completely as soon as they step into the maze.
This is what we never really got to experience Team Helsing's secret plan, but actually all of the mazes were created by Team Helsing as a way to catch Poképowered people.
To lure Poképowered
people. And, Poképowered people is they cannot resist a maze. Like, you put a maze in front of someone with Poképowered.
It's a good thing Kenny's never gone to one, because
that
otherwise...
That would be it.
I think the shrinking maze stands alone. I don't think it's in a place that we've discovered yet in Formia. I think it's in the middle of a random forest that we've not been to yet.
Route Trio Forest.
I was trying to go with...
Route Trio Forest,
pause, ladies and gentlemen, was we trying to count in Spanish from 1 to 5, and I failed.
Well, then we didn't, because trio isn't 3 in Spanish,
Uno,
is it?
Uno, dos, tres.
It's tres,
yeah,
right?
But trio's better, Ali. Come on. Uno, so duo, trio. Classic Spanish.
Do we have a Route Dos Forest?
I think we've got Route Duo.
Yeah, that's what I was going off. Route Duo.
We have a Route Duo Forest, so it has to be Route Trio, and then a Route 4-0. So this is off Route 4-0, okay? So it's the 4-0 Forest, okay? And
oh
this
my
is
God.
Where the shrinking maze is. And it is where a member of the church, a rebellious member of the church, escaped and discovered a way to shrink down. Well, Jackson, thank you very much for your midsection ideas. It's good to do a good location and item once in a while, you know. It's really,
oh,
really
I love
enjoyable.
Them. I love them so much.
And you know your location is going to be put in one of the new Spanish route forests. So, route
Spanish
Uno,
routes
route
that
Duo,
aren't
route
Spanish.
Trio, route 4-0. What about 5-0, everyone? 5-0! Okay, I feel ready. I feel ready. Eddie, Freddie, steady.
You are so
ready.
Yep, only one thing left
Let's
to say then.
Let's kill this mouse.
Who's that Pokemon?
Whoa!
It's Buzzwol.
Theo, we left with your POV. Obviously, Kenny is running towards the statue. You've just heard this whisper on the wind. What do you do?
I think Theo just yells out, Kenny, wait!
But Swarty, Swarty's...
I appreciate that. I'm not saying that we don't do whatever Swirly wants to do, but that spoon, I think
it depends what Swirly wants to do. I don't like the way Swirly's looking at the spoon.
Kenny, I think that those spoons, they belong to somebody very important to Frey, and I think Frey put that here recently.
What, like a trap?
I don't know if it's a trap, but I think that there is something very important about whatever that is. But I think that we should be cautious about whatever we do here. We're now in Frey's territory. Did you see in that vision? She's been here. She's been here her entire life.
Oh yeah, I saw the vision. I saw a lot of poker-powered people be rounded up and mind wiped and their home destroyed. Yeah, I did see that.
You're doing with it incredibly well in comparison to how you'd
normally. No, I'm not.
Yeah, actually. No, I had a feeling that might be the case. Yeah, just had to ask.
Theo, look at that statue. You saw what I saw. That's Frey's dad. That's the guy. That's Gordo of the Pokemon League. That's the guy who died on the meteor. But oh my god, that was horrible to watch. And
it doesn't feel like they stopped anything, does it?
No, it really doesn't.
It sort of feels like
like they might have caused it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She lost their dad too.
Swirly. Spoon. Don't touch that spoon. Spoon. I know. Spoon. I know you want it, but we can't always have what we want.
Kenny, I don't want to ask a big question, but obviously Swirly has a spoon at their base. Do you think they're connected? Gordo has two spoons in that statue. Do you think?
I mean, Swirly came from my Poke Powers. It came from my Mind Palace. This Pokemon, Swirly, you are a manifestation of my Poke Powers in so many ways. And I think that's why you want this spoon.
Spiritomb looks at you, Kenny, and is like, and you see in those swirling green eyes of peppered,
those beautiful childlike demonic eyes.
looks at you with as much kind of like earnest truth as it can, and it's like, I think this is why I'm here.
This is why I love spoons.
You know, I was gifted to you, Kenny.
Well then, I think judging by the statue, you need two spoons. Let's just see what happens. I'm here to help if anything goes wrong.
And we're by your side, although I did explicitly warn against this, and I will be telling you how right I was if this goes wrong.
Theo, that's fine. I've been dealing with it for the last few months.
Spiritomb gives a nod, tries to give a reassuring nod to Theo, but...
Theo's like, never trusted you, never trusted you, yeah, ever.
Yeah. Spiritomb's like, and thus the plan is complete.
A Spiritomb's nod... Is that like the top of the Spiritomb folds down, or does the whole thing?
No, just the lip.
Because it's just a head.
The mouth stays smile, and just the eyes dip down.
Oh my god, it's bending in half, like a spoon.
yes.
It all makes sense.
It all makes sense, and yes, Spiritomb or Swirly the Spirit Spoon completes its keystone. As one spoon becomes two, as Spiritomb finally kind of becomes the... If it was a baby before, and it now becomes a full Spiritomb.
Nice.
It's now a plus four. Stage four.
Spiritomb. Yeah. This is the
it's
equivalent...
It's a mega.
It's evolving. It's evolving, Ali. You can give it a plus.
It's
for
stage
sure.
three.
Spiritomb. And it grows and grows in size. And it starts to kind of envelop the statue as well. Almost like a Runarigus. Not a Runarigus, because it's a Spiritomb. But it's almost like... becoming one with the statue and making some kind of connection. And you see Spiritomb begin to allow the statue to take shape and form, and most importantly, take voice.
Frey, my daughter, I tried to reach out for her, but she would not listen. She could not listen. Where is she, Frey?
Okay, Frey's not here. We think we know where she is. I'm here. Hello, I'm Kenny Mullet.
No, I don't. I know you.
It because of the Spiritomb or because of weird mystical things?
The latter. The latter.
Weird mystical things, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
It's always weird mystical things, isn't it?
Why is Kenny so calm
about this? Oh yeah, this is
Brandy
and this is Theo.
Yeah, the statue's talking.
And you, I feel as I know you too.
Me?
Less.
Oh.
Less so you.
Right, cool.
You might recognize... She's a descendant of someone you might have met.
Yeah, maybe, yes.
She does have latent poker powers from her father.
I'm so sorry. This is so hard speaking. It is difficult for me. Seeing is difficult for me. I have not done this in over 50 years. But for you to be able to form this connection, how have you done this? In the depths of where I am, we must...
Where are you?
And the statue sort of goes,
it is hard for me to explain. Perhaps it would be easier to show you.
Thank you, Tom Riddle.
Yeah, thanks.
You blink, Theo, after Gordo speaks those words, and there's a flash, as you say, something Mind Palace-esque. And I think everyone's there. Kenny, Brandy, you are also there. You can also see this. But Theo, you suddenly see your body in front of you. And just for an instant, time and space rushes before your eyes as we flash back, all the way back, 1,000 years to shamanic Formia. Kenny, very familiar for you. You sit on a lily pad, floating in the middle of a quiet pond. The Goldeen are swimming around you as the Pidgey rustle in the trees above. But what strikes you is the power that courses through every part of your body. You feel like you could remold the very universe around you, but instead you just sit, perfectly still, terrified that even moving your tail might bring about ruin. And it hurts. It feels as though the weight of the world is on your shoulders. It feels like it's crushing you, slowly but completely. A spinder calls from the other side of the pond.
Bale, hello! Hello! Oh, please, I have a grave request. I'm so dizzy all the time. And it means I can't parent properly because I'm just dizzy. And oh, the kids, they're not dizzy. It's really hard for me. Ooh.
Theo, you hear yourself speaking, but it's not your voice. It is the voice of Sloking. You are experiencing what Sloking did all those years ago.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gee, what?
Please, there is no need for reverence. How can I help?
And Theo, you experience Sloking helping. They help Pokemon after Pokemon, human after human, shaman after shaman. It is an endless conveyor belt of requests, demands, hopes, fears. And Sloking helps. Everyone, without fail. The pain inside their head growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Another flash. It's night now, and you look at your reflection in the water. You are Sloking. Your reflection rippling in the ink-black water. On top of your head, you see what you have studied, dreamt, and sought your entire life, Theo. The King's Rock.
Tonight is the night. The knowledge. The pain. It needs to stop.
You stand in front of a tree stump. No one is around. Your heart pounds, your head burns. You feel yourself reach up and grab the King's Rock, the crown attached to your head, and you pull. You scream. You scream in agony. It's an agony you recognize, Theo, from those memories of your King's Smock ceremony. And Sloking rips the rock from your head. As soon as you do, everything goes white. You look around, and that is all you see, just white. A memory floats to the front of your mind. You were here before, when you first picked up the King's Rock, and here you are again, but trapped inside. You feel the power that before made you tremble begin to slowly slip away. You can't let that happen. You can't let someone use the King's Rock without understanding the consequences. The destruction caused by absolute truth is not something anyone can handle. You have to escape. So you call upon what power you have left. Kenny stands in front of you. You learn everything about him in a single look. His past, his present, and the powerful Pokemon lurking beneath. The very Pokemon you need to escape. To create a mind palace for yourself, a place no one will find you or the King's Rock. You feel a pang of sadness for the young man in front of you. You see the pain he has been through and the deep empathy he has for the world around him. But you also see his friend. He's thinking about someone named Theo, and you feel it, a strong and direct connection. Theo is one who will call to you, ask for your guidance, follow in your example, a tearaway, a rebel, and a wonderful person. You realise Kenny is speaking to you, but you weren't listening. You give a wise yet ambiguous look. You think you got away with it.
Shall I do Kenny then?
There's going to be a time when they desperately need you. I wonder if you could show them the way every now and then.
Knowledge flows into you again. You see a clouded future. You will not be able to speak with Theo. It is not clear why, but you know you will not be able to help as you would want to. They will feel abandoned. No, they will be abandoned. You are overcome with a sadness, a realization that one day you will be gone from this world and there will be people who need you. But there is Kenny, the boy in front of you. You smile. Another truth drops into your mind from the King's Rock, or perhaps it is your own wisdom this time. The only advice greater than advice from an all-knowing and all-powerful being is the advice from a friend who truly cares. Maybe Kenny will be the one to show Theo the way every now and then.
Oh.
For now, you do not have the time. You must go.
I am so sorry. I didn't expect it to be you, but I suppose it was always meant to be.
Theo, you feel yourself sloking with the last vestige of power, utilizing Kenny's poker powers to create their own mind palace. But the strain is too much. You are in the Sephiroth Tree, in what you know, Theo, is the King's Rock Chamber. You understand this place now. Sloking's mind palace. An unfinished mind palace, caught between this world and Sloking's internal one. You can't move. You, Sloking, are slumped behind a slowpoke statue. You can't speak. This feels like the end. You see Norman, your most trusted shaman. He is reaching out for the King's Rock that sits on the pedestal. You want to scream.
Norman, no!
But the words don't come. You can only watch your protege, your friend, become engulfed in the King's Rock cursed light. And then something within you stirs. A change. A tearing of your very soul. A flash. You feel completely different, revived. No longer close to death, but young. Something is different.
My tail. Where's my tail?
You panic as you realise you don't have paws, but hands. Human hands.
Oh, my.
Norman's use of the King's Rock. The schism has blurred the line between people and Pokemon all across Formia. Whether it was your proximity to the epicenter of the event or something innate within you, Sloking, is unknown. But for you, it has turned you human. You quickly find a reflective surface. You see your new face for the first time. Aged, but not wizened. Rugged, but not demonstrably handsome. White hair. There is psychic power still latent within you. Some would come to define you as poker-powered when such terms begin to arise. But you are no longer Sloking. And you are no longer burdened by all that entails. What elation! To be free from the King's Rock, and free from the knowledge that is stored within. To be free from making the decisions of an entire region. To be free from absolute truth. Perhaps now the region can be free too. To guide itself without reliance on an all-knowing being. Perhaps this was always meant to happen. Perhaps discarding of the rock wasn't cowardice at all. Norman was always meant to schism. Foolishness. Of course it was cowardice. Look what it has wrought. Formia has been gripped in an embittered war for many years. A period that would be lost to history, scorched from the murals. A void era. Norman's schism solved nothing. If anything, it made the divisions within Formia even stronger. Pokemon and people have grown further apart. Norman's church, dedicated with bitter irony to your own Sloking legacy, has looked to seal away knowledge. And those without context have leaped into conflicts they don't fully understand against those with powers they have not the information to control. You, human Sloking, have given yourself a name. You repeat it to yourself as you sit alone in a cave, rain hammering down, creating a temporary waterfall at the rocky opening.
Gordo. 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 Gordo.
You vow then and there to cease your endless wallowing and find a way to help this world which you cursed by abandoning it. Many years have passed. You've established a utopia of sorts for poker-powered Gordo. You are chieftain of a thriving poker-powered village, for the time being cut off from the rest of Formia. It is what they want. They make the decisions, not you. Any questions posed from the inhabitants?
How can I? Where should we? What happens if...
You simply reply...
That is a good question. I trust you will find the answer.
Wow, that would really frustrate me if I asked, where should we? I trust you will find the answer.
Is it left or right?
No, 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 tell me which direction to go in.
The answer is inside you.
The power of friendship shall guide you.
And the world will turn to ash.
To conceal your identity, you carry spoons, hoping to deflect questions about the origins of your psychic poker powers. You look out on your village, on the families you have allowed to flourish, on the children that laugh and play and learn, unafraid to climb walls during a game of tag if their trico poker powers facilitated. You are satisfied with the haven you have built, but you are enamoured with the family you have built. A young girl wrapped in a sarong bounces gently on your knee, delighting as you make your spoons dance and twirl in her white hair.
Jesus.
The joy is bittersweet. Your work is not finished. You have reached out to the wider region and been invited to be part of a founding Elite Four of Formia, in the infancy of something known as the Pokemon League, something that could govern and command absolute unity across the region. You must see Formia heal from the division caused by Norman's schism. Maybe now is that time.
No.
If this is what it takes.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Gordo.
Do it, Gordo.
Don't do it.
A literal thunder flash. A woman cries.
My boy. My son, what have you done to him?
A boy writhes on the ground, taking on the features of a gibble. Your daughter, Frey's eyes are wide with fear, her arm black.
Father, what? I didn't.
Monsters!
I didn't.
You bundle up your daughter. It was a mistake to have taken her from the village. She was not ready. The world was not ready. If only you'd had more knowledge. If only you had all the answers like you used to. Stupid creature, stupid Slowking. Languish in your mistakes, your hubris. You are free to choose now, but a choice can be wrong. Flash. Crystal rocks bind you in midair. You are being buried in an enormous meteoric rock. You cannot move, nor do you want to. Perhaps this is the sacrifice necessary for the region to move on. You hear the traitorous cries of A-Bomb, Alana, and Nero, vague sounds, indistinct. Instead, a single spoon in your hand causes your senses to train preternaturally on your daughter. She holds your second spoon, hidden away in the nearby glade with her Golbat. No. Why is she here to witness this?
Frey.
She cannot hear you. Time is short, so you do all you can. You reassure her with a smile.
Stay strong, Frey.
The rocks take you. You whisper to yourself.
They can do it. They can all save Formia.
And time slips away.
Unbelievable that we all improvised that.
Jeez, wow. Look at that. Look at that. Wow.
What lost you?
Well, oh, there you go.
My days.
There you go.
Can you imagine if we'd never interacted with that spoon?
God, it was close. It was close.
The spoon would have chased you. Dug into your spine. You will listen to me.
Frey is Slowking's daughter.
Well, that's going to make it more complicated. Not that it wasn't already. Is this what Slowking slash Gordo
Thea,
sees?
Yeah.
All of us on the ground holding our heads. You know how I Gordo, described Theo before on the floor
yes,
rolling.
Yes, all Theo of us on the sand.
We're all just rolling, screaming.
Holy shinks, you guys.
Oh
my. We were standing like on top of Slowking in the meteorite.
Oh my goodness. The Elite Four killed God.
Killed God.
I don't even know how to process the context of everything that this throws into it. Like
Gordo sort of looks at you and sees, you know, it's like, oh, I've overloaded them. I need to salvage this in some way, and can feel their grip on the world fading away. So kind of comes to and says, I'm so sorry.
You've already said that to me.
I can't help you.
more in the state that I'm in.
You've already said that to me.
I can feel my tether on this world slipping away.
You've never even spoken to me, and this is what you tell me?
The world that I abandoned now shuns me, and I understand it. I understand the need the world feels for penance. Because I fled the world due to fear.
That's why you abandoned everyone.
Yes, fear of what my existence meant for the world, fear of what the knowledge that I had could bring. I saw shamans. They were creating weapons with knowledge I had gifted them. My own Norman, my precious Norman, was fashioning the beginnings of a capture device that could enforce servitude. These were all the dark harbingers of a division that would envelop the whole of Formia like a reaper's cloth.
But it happened anyway.
I know, my fleeing solved nothing. The divisions, they came anyway, as did the weapons with which the wars were fought. So I reckoned with it. I reckoned with the truth that my flight from Formia wasn't one of trying to help the region. It was selfish. It was born from my fatigue, my desire to escape the pain.
Is this what the Tome of Solitude is all about? That somebody, to bring peace, must always be the conveyor of absolute truth alone?
I don't know. I didn't write the tomes.
Oh, so there's one thing you didn't do.
No, well, yes. No, I didn't write the tomes. So all I have now to impart are my experiences.
Do you know what your daughter has done? Is doing?
I know that she is troubled. And I knew even then there was something within her, something dark.
You realise what we have to do?
I had hoped to have a moment with her when she came. She was here, not moments before you. And I hoped...
She didn't touch the spoon.
Have a moment with her.
She walked straight past...
She didn't touch it, no. She walked straight past the spoon.
She was too interested in the sharp.
That's what I mean. There's something
within her. She picked up all
the
revives. It was really annoying,
and
actually.
She touched every single fork, which was really annoying.
There's something within her that guides her that is beyond my control. When you see her, please, end her nightmares. I was never able to. If this cruel, awful, beautiful world has taught me anything, it's that no one being can have all the answers. And no one being has the right to deny the world knowledge as Norman once sought to do in my name. I believe the truth lies somewhere in between. We must make our own decisions, but those decisions must be made with the context of understanding. An ill-informed choice, in the absence of knowledge, will use the next best available fuel. The fuel that fired my own decisions, fear. Oh, the end is near. Kenny, Theo.
Brandy.
Yeah. It's been a privilege sharing this moment with you. I ask that you choose well, my friends, and fuel your choices not with fear, but with hope.
If we find the King's Rock, what can we use that? What could we do? What could we do? I've waited years for this opportunity. How do we use the King's Rock to do any of the things that you're saying?
And the tether is broken.
Oh, God.
Ah! Theo vomits again.
And Swirly loses the connection. And you have to assume, I mean, you don't know for sure, but like that the spirit of Sloking starts to drift. And whatever was sort of clinging on beneath the rock, beneath the core, starts to kind of fade from the region at large.
I think Spiritomb, like the sort of, that's probably taken quite a lot out of Spiritomb. No HP lost. Just want to clarify. Yep. No actual HP loss.
Yeah.
How convenient.
I think Kenny,
in fact, leveled up, got more HP.
Yeah, leveled up. But Kenny, like, takes Spiritomb in his arms and just kind of give him a reassuring embrace and looks at the other two and says, hey, you know, when we started this journey, Brandy, you wanted to become Pokemon champion. I wanted to learn about my Poke powers. And Theo, you wanted to speak to Sloking. And we've all done it. But none of us are satisfied. Brandy, your champion of a Pokemon League that is destroyed. My Poke powers could potentially ruin everything. And Sloking has somehow caused all of this pain. But there's still right. And
I'm not scared of what awaits for us in that tree. Because I think we're stronger because we know now what we actually wanted the whole time.
And you see Frey fire a dark pulse directly at you, Kenny, from the base of the tree.
Listeners, I hope you freaked out about that as much as we did. Honestly, I thought I had to keep in a bit of our response there so you can appreciate just how much we lost it. Huge, huge lore drop from Stuart Clark there. What a way to start our final arc with an appropriately god-based name. Judgment. Can't wait to hear what happens next. Thank you to each and every one of our fabulous patrons. This amazing group of people includes Alex Dominguez, Misjudged Plush, Daisy, Dalton Fett, Here I Come, Bannon, Green Pikmin, Mew, Curtis Hovey, Joseph Tibbs, Freya, Lily Gilder, Rosie Skies Ahead, Christy, White Phoenix 52, Bloke Person, Mega Noodle, Nicholas Andre Rubio, Zachary Turing, Elena Mihailov, Mr. Man, Anorak, Purple Druki, Lord Toffee, Not That Nick, Anthony Robin Stanley, Brandon Wood, Carlton, Tommy Portillo, Aidan Clark, Inclusive Investor, Sandy Swain, Mark Smith, Brad Demon Dowker, Mike Cabbages, Dr. Ranny, Jerembi's Mum, DGZ, Ollie, Alex W, Crispy, Huxley Spicer, Beth Chivers, Jam, Heather L. Snell, Megan Taylor, Betsy Lewin Lee, Ryan Teague, Darius Jakowski, Polkadash 55, DW Hollins, Ellie Lieberman, Jerembi, Turtle Lover, Carrie Morrison, Martin Blackwood, Scott M, Dr. Megaman PhD, Haikili, Kaikopin Cosplay, Big Fat Nuke, Jonah Jackson, Trigula, Alchemage, Cesar Trevino, Force Majeure, Ryan Mitchell, GGT, Crandon Creations, Eric Eichinger, Miller Moy, Ginny Voss, and of course, Alistair Collinson. If you would like to become a patron as well, you can find out how to do so on patreon.com/criticalditto. All the information you need to become a patron is on there, including what you get, like being on the show and getting bonus episodes and much, much more. If you don't want to become a patron, totally fine as well. You can help us out massively by just giving us a simple rating and review on your podcast app. As always, thank you to Michael Sands, the creator of Monster of the Week, the tabletop role-playing game system that we've hacked for our show, Pocket Monster of the Week. Thank you to Glitch X City, Epidemic Sound, and Braxton Burks and the Materia Collective, a name I only recently discovered I've been saying incorrectly for 4 years. Thank you to Junichi Masuda and Satoshi Tajiri, names I always knew I was saying wrong for 4 years. We are not affiliated with Game Freak, Nintendo, or the Pokemon Company. We are not-for-profit and fan-made. Thanks to each and every one of you for listening. And of course, thank you to David, thank you to Stu, and thank you to Tom. Follow us on Twitter, @CriticalDitto. Follow us on Instagram, @CriticalDittoPod. And join the Discord, details of which can be found on our Twitter page. And finally, go and be the very best, like no one ever was. In other words, just be yourself.
Oh, thank God. Thank God Swirly interacted with the spoon. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, they're going to ignore it.
There was a point,
no.
There was a point where David was about to ruin everything.
David was like, don't touch it. I was like...
The GM panic.
Oh, God.
I can't force the players to do it, but also definitely do it. You
definitely maybe do it. Oh, so we can complete the story. Okay.
He's like, there is one thing in this place. Please interact with it. There's one thing. And Brandy's like, yeah,
shop.
But the shop.
There's a shop.
The shop is important.